is going to read chapter 18 of Duncan's War, so here I go. "You shall as soon shoot me," cried Nelson. I'm a man of my word, and I gave him quarter. "Put down the pistol, Gray," said Duncan's father. "Monster that Turner is," said Briscoe. "Will none of us stand by while ye murder him in cold blood? You'll all hang for sure if ye shoot him." Gray snorted in disgust and lowered his pistol. "Clear the house, make prisoners of all within," ordered Gray. "I'll march my men to the garrison and seize what weapons we find there," said Bearskup. "We need arms," said Gray. Duncan heard him add under his breath, "and men willing to use them might help." Here and now, we must pledge our allegiance to the crown right of our Redeemer, called Mr. Crookshanks. "I to the market cross to pledge the covenant," called out a young field preacher, Alexander Robertson. "I've some business to attend to, said Gray. "But I'd be most honored, Sir James Turner, if you'd ride astride my noble steed and join the rest at the market cross." Duncan scowled at Gray. Something was not right about him. It seemed to Duncan that Gray might actually be play-acting through all this. It even seemed to Duncan that Gray spoke somewhat differently now that he had seized Turner. Turner looked in disgust at the bony Galloway. Now Gray offered, "I'd rather crawl." "But ride you shall," said Gray, nodding for assistance and hoisting Turner onto the bare back of the pathetic beast. Turner's nightshirt was soaked through. The rainwater dribbled from the limp toes of his stockings. In the drenching cold, Turner's teeth chattered, making his fleshy dimpled chin quiver pathetically. For a fleeting instant, Duncan actually felt sorry for him. He watched as Turner was led away, and most reluctant of participants of proceedings that would follow. All this time, Duncan had stood just around the corner of the house where Turner only moments ago had slept. When the men cleared off down the street, Duncan had peered around the corner and watched Gray closely. Sneering back down the street at the disappearing mob, the commander then turned and deliberately entered the house. Duncan moved the window and peeked through the gap in the curtain. He watched as Gray drew his sword and in a single stroke bashed open what must be Turner's chest. Then Gray bent over and ransacked the contents, scattering papers, lace collars, and stockings about the room. After a moment, he stood up with the smaller chest in both hands, pried it open, and drew his head back and left. Duncan caught sight of the contents as the man turned. Gold coins overflowed into the floor. Duncan could hardly believe what he saw. While his father and the small band of covenanters pledged their loyalty, uphold the crown rights of the Redeemer, this self-appointed scoundrel was busy robbing Turner's money, and in process making all of them look like common thieves. This probably wasn't even Turner's money in the first place, more likely skimmings of fine money plundered from the faithful in Galloway, but it wasn't Gray's money. That much Duncan knew for sure. The cracking of a musket fire abruptly broke into his thoughts. Gray spun around. He'd heard it too. Duncan jumped back from the window, turned, and ran down the the street toward the market square as fast as his weary legs could go. He heard more musket fire as he neared the square. The solemn men pledging their loyalty to the king in matters political of the kings of kings all stared down at the street from the direction the shots came. Turner looked hopefully down the street. Their scouts engaging garrison, called Nelson. We best muster to his aid. Wait, here he comes now, said another. He's got wagons and horses, said still another. Loaded with weapons, said a voice in the crowd. Duncan thought it sounded like Ivan Truant's voice. Is there food in those wagons? One man called. Is all well, said Duncan's father as Bearscub rode near. Ah, you heard the shot, said Bearscub. They put up a fight, not wanting us to walk away with their guns. We killed one of theirs, he added. Better get used to the killing, boomed the great voice. He now sat astride Turner's big charger and had just ridden up and heard the news. Lincoln's call. He wanted to blurt out what he'd seen. Now what do we do? Someone gave a voice to the question in everyone's mind. A mangle of voices rose up in reply. Some fearing reprisal from Sharp and the king's council wanted to disband. Others insisted they must finish what they had begun and march forward to Edinburgh. What about Turner? Called one. I say we shoot the monster and be done with him, called another. Aye, he'll not eat up our supplies of food then, agreed another. We'll kill him over my dead body, called Nelson. Now what? You have arms enough, said Grey. We march direct to Edinburgh and seek redress. All will be well. Are you deaf, man? Cried Bearscup. We must gather more support if we hope to be heard at Edinburgh. We need two more men in arms. I say we return to Galloway, Nelson said, and march through the friendliest villages there in Ashire, seeking all who will join us. By this time, Duncan had worked his way through the mass of men and heroes and joined his father. Jamie stood nearby and greeted Duncan with a grin. Father, said Duncan urgently. He told his father the whole story of what he'd seen Grey do back at Turner's house. Scoundrel, as I thought, said Duncan's father grimly. Many more will join us in Galloway, Nelson continued, urging above the din. To Galloway, Duncan's father and John Kilbride called loudly. If they returned to Darley, Duncan thought, they could see that all was well with their families. To Galloway, Duncan and Jamie joined in. To Galloway, more joined in the cry. So that was chapter 18. Bye, guys. See you later. See you later. See you later. See ya. See ya. Later. Bye, guys.